What's up, guys? Today on Sports Spectrum, Daryl Strawberry returns to the show. 8-time MLB All-Star, New York Mets legend, 4-time World Series champion. And today's a little different of a conversation because just last month, Daryl Strawberry had a heart attack. It's the day before his birthday, his 62nd birthday, and he had a heart attack, and he's made it through. Praise God. He got to the hospital, and he's going to share all about what that experience was like. And Daryl's been a traveling evangelist. He's been a guy that goes around the country and shares the gospel, shares about a lot of the struggles that he's walked through and how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And now that traveling's had to stop a little bit. So we talked to Daryl about that. He's also getting his number 18 retired by the New York Mets on June 1st. And I wanted to ask him, as a guy who grew up as a Mets fan, grew up as a Daryl Strawberry fan, how that feels that the Mets have decided to retire his number 18. It's Daryl Strawberry. I'm excited. One of my childhood heroes. It's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. I'm really excited for a couple things as well. Not just the Daryl Strawberry interview, but I don't know if you guys have noticed, but our YouTube channel and our Twitter page have been wonderful places with Sports Spectrum to share full-length video interviews. And so this year in 2024, we've done a wonderful job, I think, the team of Sports Spectrum, to increase the quality of our video content. And we wanted to record all of our podcasts now, video-wise, and share them with you. In the past, it's just the audio version of the podcast, and that's great. But now we're in a different place, and we want you to see and watch the podcast as well. So if you go to our YouTube channel, Sports Spectrum's YouTube channel, just search it, you'll see video versions of these podcasts that you can watch. And if you're on Spotify, a lot of our podcasts, including this one with Daryl Strawberry, are available to watch on Spotify and not just listen to. So I hope that's something, maybe it's an added extra way to engage in the content that we have. I know for me, I've been watching a lot more podcasts on YouTube and not just listening, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or iHeartMedia or Amazon or wherever that might be. So we just want to have you check out our YouTube channel. Definitely check out our Twitter X page as well. We've been sharing a lot more video content. Just search Sports Spectrum on all of those platforms and you'll be good to go. And all of our content, of course, can be found at our website, sportsspectrum.com. Daryl Strawberry, it's so great to see you, my brother. Welcome back to Sports Spectrum.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for your kindness. Thanks for your prayers. Really appreciate the friendship. It's just so many wonderful things I could sit here and say thank you for and be thankful for it. And nice to be here and being able to, you know, share the good news of Jesus Christ and his love for us no matter what we go through.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah, this is... It's been quite a few weeks. It was March 11th, the day before your birthday, that you had a heart attack. And I think a lot of people are wondering how you're doing. So let's just start right there. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks to the doctors and thanks to such a quick respond. When I went into the hospital that day on March 11th, and my heart wasn't feeling well and had been feeling well for a while and had been on the road. But, you know, as a athlete, you just continue to go. You think, oh, well, you know, it's not broken, so I got to keep it moving. That's the thought process that, you know, we have from playing sports, and it just allows you to keep going. And I got in there on March 11th, and they said my heart was at 40%, and I had had a massive heart attack after I went through the process of having surgery and everything. So if it hadn't not been for my wife with her, you know what, strong fist, you know what I'm saying? Let's go. You go into the emergency room. I could have been in a different situation instead of being right here where I'm sitting today and being able to share this moment with you and just being able to share this moment of God's goodness, you know, no matter what it is, because we all going to end up with something. And we just don't know when it's going to occur. We just got to brace ourselves for it and hopefully for the best for it. And that's pretty much where I'm at. I've braced myself for the best, you know, through that process and, you know, having a heart attack and having the doctors really take care of me at the hospital. And, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift that God gives to you when you get in there soon enough to, before it's too late.
Yeah. You've been through a lot in your life. You've been through quite a few health scares and a lot of different, things that have happened to you and I guess for you, and if you want to look at it that way too. But take me to the moment when you realized something wasn't wrong, because you said Tracy had the iron fist to say, "No, Daryl, you're going to the hospital." But were you feeling some chest pains? What was happening that led you to even get to the hospital?
Well, I was feeling some chest pains, when I was on the road for about 5 days. And like I said before, I didn't think anything was wrong. And I got back home on a Sunday and slept real well, woke up Monday. My wife, I went to work this morning because she's a pastor, and she went to work at the church, and she came back home, and we went out for lunch. And when we went out for lunch, and we got back from lunch, and all of a sudden I started grabbing my chest and getting short of breath again and clamming up. And she was looking at me, and she had knew the problem was there before, and she was just like, "Okay, that's it, it's over. Get in the car. I'm driving." And there we were, off to the hospital, the emergency room, and she's driving, and I'm holding on, and my chest, I'm holding on my chest. She's driving all crazy. I said, "Hun, slow down, slow down. It's okay. I'm gonna be all right." She knows I got to get you there, and she got me there in time, and then going through that whole process really made me understand clearly when I got into the hospital that I wasn't walking out of there. Something was seriously wrong, and something was about to take place. I didn't know exactly what was going to take place because they just kept asking me about my chest and between 1 and 10, are you still having problems? I said, "Yeah, between, it comes and goes." You know, say, "Well, give me a number." I said, "Two, three," and they was like, "That's it." From that point on, we went into another process that had to take place. And I mean, they were quick doing what they were doing. All of a sudden, I'm seeing all the nurses and doctors coming in, and they're sticking all these things on me, different things on me, and getting me prepared. And they say, "You got to go into immediately a surgery right now for yourself because we have to do a procedure right away."
Wow. You're a man of faith. We talked about it in the beginning, and that's the reason you're on this show. That's honestly, it's the reason we're friends, I would say, because Jesus brought us together and because I'm so admired how much the Lord has done in your life. When you're in a moment like that, and you've had health scares in the past, you've overcome cancer, your kidney and colon removed, addictions, all of the things, did going through those and the strong faith that you have help carry you through something like this? Because, there's that song, "Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar, and the devil is a liar." But yet there's still moments when we're afraid, and this is a moment where I would think people wouldn't be surprised if you said, "I was a little afraid." But how has that faith kind of helped you through when you find out the seriousness of what was happening?
Well, I think more than anything, and thanks for asking that question, because a lot of people need to understand how important your faith is. And you have to stand strong on your faith. And you have to understand the fact that God never loses a battle. No matter what the battle is, either you win either way, and that's what I have to look at. The outcome of my life is my faith more than anything. I win either way. Why not me? Why not you? It's going to happen to somebody. And it's just a matter of how we deal with it and how we see it. I can see this as another open door to reach more people for God, to show them that faith is it's the most important part of your life, and that you have to be able to hold on to your faith regardless of the circumstances of life. Because if you're going to preach, if God's going to call me to preach about storms, being in a storm, coming out of storms on the way, then I got to live that too, because I'm in that storm now. And I was telling my brother that he was asking me, "Well, what do you think?" I say, "I got to live what I preach." I tell people that storms are real, and here it is. I'm in that storm, and I got to live through that storm just like everybody else do, Jason. And I think that's the most important thing we learned about the gospel. The gospel is the truth. Jesus said it in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way." So, and knowing that Easter was yesterday, and knowing that he got up with all power in his hands for us, that's what we got to learn to live. We got to learn to live the book. And which book? Not just any book, but I'm talking about the Bible. And I always talk about the Bible, Jason, how it's a very simple book for complicated people.
Unfortunately, we like to think that we're simple people and that's a complicated book, but it's actually backwards.
It's the other way. It's the opposite way. You know, it's a very simple book. And when you keep it simple and don't be so complicated and you understand the principles of God and you realize that God is going to always be with you no matter what. And, you know, the only thing that I was thinking about in that time, in that situation where when I was going in to have the procedure done, I was rolled one way and Tracy was going the other way. And I made an agreement with God. I said, God, this is up to you. I said, but you know, I got June 1st coming up, a day I've been waiting for a very long time in my life and my career. I said, you cannot let me leave without celebrating that. I said, you can let me live and see that. And if you want to take me then I'm okay with that. But I really wasn't okay because my daughter's getting married next year too. So there are things you like to see, but at the same time, it's so funny, Jason. I was making this agreement with God when I was on my way in to have surgery.
Well, I think that's just the nature of us as humans too sometimes, right? Like we know, you know, there's this old joke, I think, that goes around, Daryl, that when we make our plans, God just laughs because he's the one in control, right? And yet, I think what you prayed is a real prayer because you have these exciting things coming up. Your daughter getting married. I didn't know about that. That's amazing. And of course, June 1st, when you're going to have your number retired. I want to talk about that day in a second. I do want to focus on this verse I was thinking about in Colossians. And Paul talks about setting our mind on things above and not on things on this earth. And I wonder when you... because we're all going to meet the Lord someday. We're going to meet our maker one day. And I think we all want to live as long as we can. Is that difficult for you to kind of set your mind on things eternal when you're going through what you just went through and what you are going through?
No, it's very easy for me when you become a strong believer and you believe the word of God and setting your mind on things above and not setting your thoughts on these earthly things. I think a lot of times so many people are very consumed with all these earthly things and they don't think about eternal life. I think the average person don't even think death is coming. You know, we think we're going to live forever and that's not real. That's not a real reality. When you've experienced death from loved ones and you've seen them go on to cross over, you realize that one day your day is going to come. Your name's going to be called just like he called Job's name. You know, he's going to call all our name. And are you prepared? Is your heart prepared? I think that's the most important thing that I realized more than anything. God has already prepared my heart, you know, for everything that has taken place in my life. And a lot of people can say, well, man, this guy's been through everything. But God prepared me for that. He prepares you for the things that he needs you to go through here from an earthly standpoint so you can look towards the kingdom and keep your focus on the kingdom. And I think a lot of times people don't keep their focus on the kingdom. You know, after I've been through so much and after learning the word and living the word, now I understand why it's eternal life, why he calls it eternal life, why it's greater than being here. Because if you get complacent and you get comfortable here, you will never think about the eternal heaven. You will never think about meeting Jesus. I look forward to meeting Jesus. I just didn't want to meet him so early, you know, but.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I'm with you. Like, I can't wait to meet Jesus too, but I still got some time left here. Hopefully God, you know.
Yeah, it's still some time, you know, and it's that place. It's that place in a believer. Well, you have to have this sense of humor with God because God is great and he's got a great sense of humor about who we are and the creation of us and the things that we have to go through here. But I can tell you one thing, if you're faithful to him, he's faithful to you. And that's what I love about him more than anything, because it's about really, truly being faithful to him because he's going to eventually extend more time for you or whatever he needs to do for you. And I think about my situation, having a massive heart attack, walking around 5 days, having a heart attack and not even knowing it, getting in the hospital at 40%. The doctor said, I don't know how you're alive, but I'm thinking, wow. Nobody but Jesus, you know, that's what he hung on the cross for, you know, to shed his blood for us, you know, and that we would experience this life, you know, and this abundant life, you know, because of that. Because of his love for us on the cross. He wasn't hanging on that cross just for nothing. He was hanging on that cross for everything. And this is part of it too, because that's what he talks about when he extends that grace. This is grace. You know, he talks about my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he's talking about I'm made perfect in your weakness. When I was weak, going through what I was going through, he was strong. His strength was perfect in the midst of it.
Yeah, that's really well said. I was listening to a guy speak recently, and he was sharing a little bit of his own journey of going through cancer and battling and fighting through and even finding out that there some things weren't going so well for him. And he just said one thing that I'm going to ask you about that really opened my eyes. He just said, you know what? For us as believers in Jesus, it is so important to prepare for the valley. And I thought, wow, prepare for the valley. None of us want to think about the valley. We want to all be hunky-dory and things are going perfect and be on that mountain. How important has it been for you to prepare? You've been through valleys and you just went through another one. How important is it as believers to prepare for the valley?
Well, first of all, I think you have to truly have the word of God down inside of you to prepare. Because if you don't have the word down inside of you, you can't prepare. And that's why the Bible always talks about how my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You know, and it's that lack of knowledge and not knowing God's word, not studying God's word, because God is only going to be able to reveal to you about you through his word, because that's how he reveals himself to us. And that's the way we learn to prepare for the valleys, because the valleys are coming. And I always call them storms. They're real. Either you're in the storm, coming out of storm, or storms on the way. And if you understand that that is truly part of this life that we live here, Jason, and you prepare yourself for that when it do come, then you know how to respond. You know how not to lay down and be defeated by the enemy. Of course, the enemy really wants to defeat me. It's been tough and I've had some days, but I got to rise up. I got to get up. I got to get my worship music going in the morning, get up, and I got to press in, not press out. I got to press into God, because that's how you prepare yourself for these valleys and these dark times that's going to come. Doesn't mean it's going to be all good, you know, what we want it to be. You know, it's going to be that hard time. You know, I'm in that hard season right now. I'm grateful for the hard season because God has allowed me to run, you know, the last 15 something years strong and grow and become great for him and become everything that I need to come for him and win souls. Because at the end of the day, it's about who are we talking about and who are we pointing people to? Am I talking about my own personal success? You know, like a lot of athletes do, they talk about their success and their trophies. But without God, it's meaningless under the sun. You go to King Solomon, he'll tell you that. It will mean nothing at the end of your life. You know, all these things you accomplish here. Are you pointing yourself towards the kingdom of God? Are you pointing people to Jesus? Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. It's telling people about Jesus and sharing his love. Because, you know, a lot of times we get very comfortable in our own skin about how great we are, and we forget there is no one greater than Jesus.
Yeah, not I, but he. That's what I heard somebody say recently. It's not what I've done, it's what he does, what's he's done. So that's a good reminder, Daryl Strawberry. I will say this, though. When I heard the news about your heart attack, and obviously I've been following along, and I shot you a text and told you we were praying for you and cheering you on, and then find out that you're doing better, I was thinking about June 1st, too. Because I have this on the calendar, Dawn and Sarah and I haven't got my tickets yet, but we're going to get our tickets. We're going to go down to Citi Field and we're going to support you and cheer you on. And I was like, I bet Daryl Strawberry is probably talking to God and saying, can you please get this thing just through June 1st? Let me get this opportunity to have this. Because that's a big deal that the Mets decided to retire number 18. I thought it was amazing in that decision that they made.
I was having a battle with God, you know, on my way rolling into surgery. I wasn't even thinking about the heart attack at the time. You know, I was thinking about, God, you got to let me live for June 1st. You know, this is the day that this is the day that means everything to me. This is something I totally waited for a very long time. And not because of me. I think because of the fans, Met fans, you know, they deserve it just as well as I deserve to be honored. And thanks to the new ownership, Steve and Alex, you know, what they have decided to do here for me and give me the opportunity to say thank you. And what I mean is I'm saying thank you to a lot of people. It's a lot of people outside of me. I'm talking about coaches. I'm talking about Jean Dusan. I'm talking about Lloyd McClendon, people that I came through the minor leagues with, guys like John Gibbons, Billy Beane, guys, Terry Blocker, guys I played with. We were all number one picks and stuff like that, trying to get to the big league. And I got there and I was very successful. Chuck Hiller, who was my coach in rookie ball, those people are the people that had a big impact on me to keep going when I was young, going through the minor leagues. And I want to say thank you to those kind of people, Davey Johnson, Bud Harrelson, Bill Robinson, Bobby Valentine, my third base coach, Jim Frey, my hitting coach. I mean, just so many people that I really want to be able to embrace and say thank you to those guys. And all the guys I had an opportunity to play with, Kit Carter, who's not here anymore, who was a guy of faith, Mookie Wilson, who was a guy of faith, even Keith, a guy that taught me how to play at the highest level. You go back and you look back, you don't become great by yourself. You become great because of the people that's around you. And if I didn't have solid people around me, you might not never reach that place to be able to perform at the level that I was able to perform at. And I'm thankful for all those people. Those people have had such a great impact on my career. My career wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for each and every one of those people talking to me about big leagues, talking to me about being successful and being there. Like Lloyd McClendon, I invited him and Jean Dusan, who was my A ball coach when I played in Lynchburg. Lloyd McClendon was my brother that I went through, spring training instruction league with. And it's just a connection of some people that probably never made it to the major leagues, but also I need to embrace them because I know without them, I would have never been able to be successful at the major league level.
Yeah, and one cool thing that I thought it was just perfect. And Steve Cohen, I feel like he gets it as a Mets fan watching him to have both you and Doc have your numbers retired this year. But to also have separate days, I thought was important too. But to see Doc have his number retired and so much of you and him and how connected you were coming up together and even winning in '86, I just thought that was a lot of that was perfect, if you will, to have you and him both get their numbers retired in the same year.
I think so too. Steve Cohen, like you said, gets it. He's a more of a fan of what the Mets history is all about. I think he recognized the history of the organization, and you know what? He's doing something about it. And that you got to say thank you. No matter what the younger people or the younger generations may think, because the younger generation of people that are fans now, they didn't see me in Dock player. They don't know what it was like coming to Shea Stadium because they didn't get a chance to experience that atmosphere. I know they're looking to try to experience that themselves, but they haven't experienced what you guys experienced in those days from the Mets of being nothing and all of a sudden this turnaround so fast, so quick, and exciting ball teams every year and having a chance to be in it and having a chance to win and giving fans something to cheer about, giving them something to come to the ballpark to actually cheer about. And that was like year in and year out. It wasn't like every other year. It was like these guys are going to be good every year. They got a chance to win. But what most people don't recognize, Jason, is you had to win the division back then to get into the playoffs. And they have a lot more opportunities to be able to do that nowadays than what we were back then. But I'm so thrilled for, like I said, all the guys that I played with all those years, that we had an opportunity and a chance to win every year. And it had it not been for good people. And don't ever forget, I must not forget, Frank Cashin too. He was the general manager. He put those teams together and he gave us a chance to be the best out there on the field. And we were in those years that I played over in Queens.
You know what I love too is that day, and I'm guessing you've probably thought through, especially as you were sitting in a hospital bed, like going through June 1st. But what a cool opportunity. If I had told you when you were at the Mets playing back in the 80s and I was just a high school kid watching and cheering you on, that God's plan was going to have you go through, 8 seasons with the Mets and the difficulties and some of the difficult times and yet this is all culminating with you standing at Citi Field to have your number retired, and yet God can get all the glory here. This isn't even about Darryl Strawberry. Would you have laughed at me if I had told you that years ago that this is going to happen, but you're not going to take the credit for it? It's going to be all God.
Of course, I would have laughed, and You know, you would think as a athlete, you think, well, you must be crazy because this is really is all about me. I'm the one out there playing, and I'm the one that's, talented enough to be able to do that. And some athletes end up thinking that way, after they've had great careers, but they would never think of the other side. I would never be sitting here thinking this is not about, the success. This is about eternal life. This is about a God reaching the multitude of people. That day is a day not just about me being retired, but that day is to, honor God and show God and show the people that God cares about people more than he cares about the circumstances that people go through. And I think people are of the fans and Met fans, I think they recognize that in me, and they recognize that my life has really truly been transformed in a different person from the work I do, and that I truly care about people and care about helping other people, not just caring about them, but I care about them coming to know Jesus,
Yeah, you
and I
care about their
think,
souls.
yeah, care about the eternal soul of their life, of afterlife here, because we all gonna reach this place where death is coming. No one's getting away from it. Darryl Strawberry, it doesn't matter how many home runs you hit and how much success you have, you're not getting away from death. And you need to have that message that makes it clear for people to know that eternal life is eternal. It's forever. It's no coming back here, but it's forever with Christ. It's just forever you get to live with the Lord. And that's really what's important. And I think that's what really stood out for me more than anything when I saw a guy like Gary Carter actually live his life, and I saw him live a clean life and a healthy, strong life, and he would be the first one on that 86 team, the one that lives the right way, to pass away. And it just blows you away, when you see that in life and you reflect on that and you understand and you know it's real, that okay, God said, okay, his time, your time is done. You have served me well, and you have left a mark here, and you left an impact on so many people, and so many people will be affected. Because at the end of the day, Jason, that's really what it is all about, the impact that we leave and how many people that's going to be affected. Not how many people are going to be happy about, what we've achieved from an earthly standpoint, but what we have done from a kingdom standpoint. We have left a message that Jesus is Lord, and he's good no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter what you go through, he will always be there for you.
Yeah, that's so true. I love the joy that comes out of you when you say that. I am curious. I've interviewed you a few times. Obviously, we're friends, so I've asked you some Mets questions in the past, but I don't know if I ever asked you this one. Do you have any Mets memorabilia or mementos from your time playing with them? Because I know it didn't end the best way, and there was a lot of stuff that happened since then, but do you have anything from those 80s days with the Mets?
Yeah, I kept my Rookie of the Year trophy, and I got my leading the league in home runs the year I led the league in home runs. Those are things that I held on to. A lot of the other stuff I really didn't think about and didn't care about at the time, and I still have those, for some reason. But mostly everything else, like jerseys or anything like that, batching anything, I've never kept a lot of memorabilia. I know a lot of athletes hold on to like a lot of memorabilia stuff that they have for them, collection stuff. But I just saw no reason to be able to hold on to all of that stuff, and to have those two trophies, I think I honor those more than anything. I honor that as a big thank you in my career. Of course, the championships, I honor those too, as a big thank you in my career. But as far as keeping things, I've never kept anything.
Do you ever break out the 86 ring? Does that ever
No,
come out?
no, no. I never think about that. I never think about the 86. I never think about none of the championships. I know I've won all those championships, but I think I'm a more of a person. I don't know. God changed me so much, and this became my favorite. My favorite gift that he's given me. I know he's given me some really cool gifts, but I think that
For people listening, by the way, you held up your Bible. I just want people to know you were holding up your Bible as the most important memento you have.
You know why? Because after I got a chance to excel and achieve and have this championship and celebrate, and the celebration is great, and it's a great memory of what we accomplished. But after it's over and you go home, it's like done. It's done. It's just done. I mean, it's always going to be there. You're always going to remember what that feels like. But when you come home and after the parade is over, okay, it's done. It's like, okay, how do I go back? How are we going to do next year? And that's what it always feel like. But something great happened when I picked this Bible up. When I did actually pick this up, Jason, something great really happened to me that was different. I couldn't put it down, and it was never done. And I think people need to understand that it's so alive. It's so rich. It's so well written. It's for us, and it's for us to live out this life this way. And it was always created that way. Not the success of a man, but I think God loves the failure of a man because God never looks at your failure as you're nothing. He looks at your failure as I can take it. Now I can use it to help somebody else. And I think that's what we all come to realize when we do find the cross and find a relationship with Jesus. He uses every last one of us when we come to the end of ourselves and say, it's not me, it is He that is great inside of me that helps others come to know that they can live this way. And, He's not talking about, I want you to go out here and live this perfect life, Jason. You're like, Christians be saying, well, if some Christians tell you, well, they never sin, well, run. Okay.
I haven't met a perfect person yet, Daryl. I'll be saying
know.
that.
Just run. If they tell you, oh, well, you don't have to fall short. That's the Bible said we all fall short. And that's good to know that. That's why it's so important to know it for yourself to understand that we would all fall short and that He would pick us up and He would help us get through and get to the place that we need to get to. So sports is always a great outlet for, a platform for many athletes to be able to stand on today. But if they truly live for Christ, then that's what they need to show others. Don't halfway do it. And don't straddle the fence. Don't be a hypocrite. Because when you are on platforms and you're witnessing for Christ, and if you're not living it, so many others will be affected because they'll say it doesn't work because of the way you live your life.
Yeah, no, that's really well said. It's really interesting too. I know how much you love preaching the gospel and sharing about the hope of Jesus and how much he's helped you in your life. And you've had to slow down of late because of everything that we just talked about with your health scare. But the mission doesn't change, does it?
And never do. Even if you like got a defibrillator on like me, you're still thinking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, if I don't have that personal relationship with Him, then I will be talking about, well, my health, and I'm scared and fear and doubt will creep in. But when you do have that personal relationship, it's still about that. It's still about that until it's your last breath, until it's over, that you will share that with somebody and make sure somebody else know that that's what you need to hold on to, because at the end of the day, that's going to be your anchor. That's what's going to keep you. That's what's not going to make you waver no matter what. I sit here and I got a stent inside of me, and I've had a massive heart attack, and I'm in this condition, but greater that He that's in me. It's a great one. I woke up this morning, I say, He's great. It's nothing great about me. It's what's great about Him that He would allow the blood, and the doctors use the doctors and allow the blood to start flowing through my heart again and says, you will live, you will not die. And you have to believe that as a person. And even if I did pass away, it's homecoming. It's not a loss.
No.
It's a gain. I think a lot of times people think it's a major loss if one goes home that's a believer. No, it's not a loss, it's a gain. I gain life, so that's what we look at. And of course we all want to experience and enjoy our families and our kids and see them grow and see marriage come and see good things like June 1st to come. Of course I want to be able to see all those great things that God have created, and I think that's the reason why He still has allowed me to be here, because he wants me to see them too.
Well, I'm glad you're still here too, Daryl Strawberry. I'm wearing my number 18 shirt. I can't wait to be there at Citi Field and cheer you on. And I'm excited, brother. I love you. I'm glad that God has given you some more time, and so grateful that you were willing to come back on and share a little bit about it with us here today. Love you, my friend.
Love you too, man. Thanks for having me, Jason. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you too. And many thanks to my friend Daryl Strawberry for returning to Sports Spectrum. Obviously, let's continue to pray for Daryl. We believe that God is the healing God that can do all things, and God's going to do a great work, or already has done a great work, and continue to do a great work with my guy, Daryl Strawberry. Watch on June 1st. That's the day his number 18 gets retired by the New York Mets. It's going to be a special day for Daryl Strawberry and the entire Strawberry family, and really the entire Mets family. And I like to include myself as one of those people who've been watching and rooting for the New York Mets since 1983, the year Daryl Strawberry came to the Mets as a rookie. He's been my childhood hero since I was 9 years old, and this is going to be a lot of fun for me. I'm planning on going to the game and cannot wait to celebrate Daryl and having his number 18 retired at Citi Field on June 1st. Thanks to Daryl for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you as well for tuning in. You can check out our website for all of our content, sportsspectrum.com. And I would subscribe to our Sports Spectrum weekly newsletter. That's something that we're really excited about and proud of, and it's been going on for a few years. But it's a great way to just stay in touch with everything that we have going on. We will email you every Wednesday morning, one time, Wednesday morning, everything that you missed in the past week with Sports Spectrum. So if you don't want to go to the website every day, or if you don't want to go, kind of bookmark things and go to specific podcasts, just get that email every single Wednesday, our Sports Spectrum newsletter, and it'll tell you everything that you missed, and you can go and check it out all right there. We're also excited because this summer we have a Sports Spectrum app coming. It's an app, finally, a Sports Spectrum app. I could not be more excited about that. More to come on that down the road and in the future over the next couple months. But we appreciate all of your support with Sports Spectrum, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. That's what we want to do. We want to point people to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the only one that provides us hope and a future. That is Jesus. So we thank you for all of your support. We love you guys. We hope you'll tune in next time for another conversation here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day.